Amen. Well, it's good to be here this evening. Looking forward to being in the services tonight. I'm glad you showed back up knowing that I was going to be here. That's another wonderful thing. So don't take that for granted. And if you would, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We're going to get right into the reading of God's Word so we can get into the message that God has put on my heart this evening. And so Acts chapter 4. And just to kind of set it up a little bit, Acts chapter 3 and 4 is kind of these two chapters could be honestly one chapter because it's dealing with Peter and John as they went to the temple and the lame man and all the events that surrounded that. And so for sake of time, I'm going to read a little bit fewer verses, but at the same time, want to cover that as well. And so we'll get into that as we get going. I do want to say real quickly, very thankful for the hospitality of Bethel Baptist Church and the people here. I know it's already been said, Brother Winter said it so very well, but I'm very thankful for just the hospitality that we've had since we've been here, and it's been wonderful. So thank you, Brother Sutton, for that. It's such a blessing. So if you have found that in your Bibles, Acts chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 8 for sake of time, and then we will read a few verses from Acts chapter 4. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. So then they send Peter and John out and they have this conversation in verses 15 through 17. They call them back in, so we'll pick up in verse 18. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." I want to preach tonight quickly this evening, but bold to speak in the name of Jesus. Bold to speak in the name of Jesus. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for the day you've given to us. Thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Lord, I don't take standing behind this pulpit for granted. Thank you that Brother Sutton would allow me to stand here and preach. And Lord, I know that in myself there's not that much important that I can say personally, but I'm so thankful that you've given us everything that we need to know for life and godliness. And so I pray that you would help me, give me the wisdom as we go through this passage tonight, and we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Not too long ago, I saw a video, and it was this, it's a basketball player, actually plays for the Detroit Pistons. I didn't see the name or what his name was, but as I was watching this video, he sat there, and he was pretty nervous as he was sitting there in this press conference. It was after a basketball game, and obviously they asked him a bunch of questions. And before he took any questions from the media, he sat there, and you could tell he was just nervous. But then you could tell he had something on his mind that he wanted to say. And after, probably felt like an eternity for him, but maybe 5 or 10 seconds later, he sits there and he says, "I just want everybody to know," and I'm not going to say this exactly perfectly, but he said, "I want everyone to know that it's important that you know where you're going to spend eternity. Yeah. It's important for you to know that heaven is your home when you die, that Jesus is coming back, and it's important that you know where you're going to spend eternity." And I looked at that and I saw that in our day-to-day basis as we go about our life, right? Sometimes we can be timid or shy or not be bold to speak the gospel of what God would have us to say. But here this, I looked at this and it was convicting and encouraging to me as well to look at this individual and to see him to sit there even with on national TV and for him to say the importance of salvation and putting their faith, your faith and trust in Jesus. We'd say about that person, that was bold of him to be able to do that in such a capacity. Well, as we come to our passage and we see tonight, and we're going to cover really quickly, because like I said, chapter 3 and chapter 4, it's kind of an overall, it's all about the same story that's taken place. And the story has to do with Peter and John as they go up to the temple one day to pray like they normally would at this time. And the Bible says that there was a lame man that was set there day after day. He couldn't do anything for himself. He couldn't take care of himself. Someone had to pick him up and set him at the gate every day. Every day his life didn't have show any signs of it changing. I mean, it had been this way all of his life, and he was 40 years old now that he's been taken there day after day, set at the temple. He would sit there at the temple, and as he was there, he would ask for alms. I'm sure embarrassed about his own situation. So maybe he, obviously based on what Peter is going to say, he would stick his, maybe his, you know, you think of a pauper or something like that, sticking their cup out and hoping that someone will put some money in it. And while he's sitting there, Peter and John, they're coming up to the temple to pray like they normally do. And as they do that, this man is again sitting there. And Peter and John, Peter looks at him and says, "Look on me." And I'm sure in his eyes, he's excited. He's like, I'm sure he's looked at as an outcast. He's a lame person. He has no, you know, in society, he's this outcast. And here someone actually takes note of who he is. Looks on him and sees him and says, "Look on us." So he can imagine in his face getting excited. Someone's about to give me something, because he couldn't do anything for himself, right? It's a picture of us before we're saved, right? There's nothing we could do about it. It's because God came to where we were, and he made the way of salvation when he came and died on the cross and was buried and rose again so that we can all have forgiveness of sins. And so he looks up and he's excited about this. And Peter and John, Peter says this. He says, "Silver and gold have I none." Can you imagine what would have happened with this lame man at this moment? He's all excited. He's about to get something. Someone took note of him when he never didn't think that that was going to take place. And now they say, "Oh, I don't have silver and gold. I don't have anything." Well, then why did you get my hopes up? Why did you even say, why did you make my misery even worse than it was? But there in that moment, you know what he says? They say, "Look, silver and gold have I none." I'm glad that's not where it stops, aren't you? Amen. He said, "But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Amen. Get up and walk. And again, he reached out and he took the lame man by the hand. And that person, that lame man, had to believe the words of what he heard, or he would have just sat there. He's like, "Nah, I don't believe it. You're pulling my chain. You're just trying to, you know, give me a hard time." But he had to believe what was being said, and in faith, he reached out, took Peter's hand, and he stood up, and his ankle bones and everything, the lame man, he was able to get up and get to walk. What a wonderful thing that was. It was amazing. It was this miracle that had taken place, and he wasn't this person that was just quiet about it. He couldn't hold back his excitement and how amazed he was that had taken place. If you read the passage, we don't have time to do that, but he gets up and he's walking and he's leaping and he's praising God. He doesn't care about the stir that comes and the commotion that comes with it. He is excited. "I've been lame for 40 years and someone took the time to look and say, 'Look upon me,' and I took Peter's hand and I stood up and I walked." And he comes to the temple and he's excited. He is walking and he is leaping. He is praising God for what has taken place. Because before he'd sit at the temple, he couldn't go in. Again, he's an outcast. Now, because he can walk, he goes into the temple. He can go in with everyone else. He's like, as these people are walking in the temple and pray, he's like, "Y'all can walk in. I'm running. I'm leaping. I'm excited about what's taking place." And because of this, there's a commotion that comes up, and there's these people. You can see in chapter 3, these people surround Peter, and they're in amazement, and they're in awe what has taken place. And Peter tells them, "You're looking on us. Why are you marveling that this has taken place? Why are you so amazed that this has taken place?" In fact, Peter, he's not like most of the people today that are healers, right, wanting to get all the credit for themselves. They look at me, look at all these people that I healed and all that kind of stuff. Which is like, if you really have that power, you should be in every hospital throughout the world, just laying hands on people and healing them, right? But Peter says, whoa. "Why are you marveling that some great miracle has taken place? As by our righteousness or by our power." He doesn't take the credit for himself. No, he gives the credit for the miracle to the Lord. It wasn't by our holiness. It wasn't by our our abilities, but instead we see Peter boldly state and proclaim who Jesus was. That Jesus, the one, again, because the message has not changed, has it? The message that we are to proclaim, that you are to proclaim on a daily basis, has not changed, and that I have as well. It's the same message that Peter had back in the day, and that was, this Jesus whom you crucified was buried and rose again. This, it is in His name, it is in His power that this individual has been raised and has the ability to walk. And he gives the credit and the understanding to Jesus. You see, it was in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. It was in the name of Jesus, the Holy One, who they had denied and they had killed, but that God had raised up from the dead. It was through faith in Jesus' name that made this man whole. And so there Peter is preaching about Jesus and the need for repentance, for forgiveness of our sin and for their sin, and the need for people to place their faith in Jesus Christ. And this crowd has gathered around them. But unfortunately, according to that passage, you can go back and read it, they weren't able to finish their message. Because the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious elite of the day, they didn't want anything to do with what Peter had to say. They didn't like what Peter and John had to say. And so they take them and they put them into prison. You see, they were grieved that the people, that they taught the people this message. And we need to understand, just like in Peter's day, it's not like we just, because people are going to reject our message, that we just thought, okay, I just give up and I'm not going to give the message. No, because there are going to be people. We have to understand that there are going to be people, as I go out and I witness and I am on testimony, that are going to reject that message. But I can't let those that reject think, well, they're rejecting me. No, the Bible said, and Jesus said, if they reject you, they're not really rejecting you. They're rejecting your Heavenly Father, which is in heaven. And so there are people that are going to reject, but we also understand, and we wonderful testimonies from Brother Winters earlier, and we've had, praise the Lord, have had one get saved at our church as well, and it's exciting that there are going to be those that as we go out and we're faithful to boldly proclaim the gospel, that they are going to accept the message. And that is what we have to keep our mind on, because there are those, and it was that way in chapter 3, you'll find it, that they laid hands on them and put them into prison. And I love, though Peter and John were in prison, I'm glad that God was still at work, because the Bible says that over 5,000 people, even while they're in prison, are accepting the message. Sometimes we can look at our situation and say, well, we didn't have this many people saved or this many people join us, this church over here, or whatever it might be. But God didn't ask you to be faithful for them. God asked you to be faithful right where you are and to serve Him and to love Him and to know God may be blessing in a certain way over here. And we should just say, praise the Lord, there are people that are getting saved. And when we see people get saved where we are, praise the Lord, there are people that get saved where we're at. And even though Peter and John could have been like, man, I was out there and there was a crowd and we were able to preach to them, and now we're in prison, and how is God's word going to go forward? And yet while they're in prison, while they're being questioned, we see multitudes of people getting saved. Because the gospel and the proclaiming of the gospel is not about us, and our glory is about Him and His glory, because He is the one that has done it all. And so even while they're in prison, that is taking place. And so now, so we see Jesus, we see Peter, and he's talking to this person, individual. We see where he's with this crowd of people that have gathered around him. And now Peter is now before these religious elites. Now he's in front of the Pharisees and the scribes that are wanting to question him, and wanting these rulers and elders that are wanting to stifle and keep quiet his message. And they're questioned by that council. And Peter, we see, as we see in our passage, that Peter answered them with boldness. I love it. The message that was for the lame man was same for the crowd that had gathered around, and it's the same message that he proclaims to these religious elite, these elders, these scribes, these Pharisees. Because why? The message that is to be proclaimed is the same. It was the same 2,000 years ago. It's the same message that we proclaim today. And Peter proclaims it to the layman and to the crowd and to the religious elite. Let me be clear about this, and so we emphasize it, with boldness. He's not afraid to proclaim to this lame man, Jesus died and was buried and rose again. He wasn't afraid to proclaim to the crowd that had gathered, it is that Jesus has died, he was buried, and he rose again. And now in front of these religious elites that he is in front of, he's not afraid to do the very same thing. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again so that we can have forgiveness of sin. He tells them, look, there is only one way to heaven. They have him, as the verses that we just read in verses 8 through 14. They've cornered him and they've put them in prison. They're questioning them. And Peter makes no exception, no excuse. He does it with total clarity, where he says in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Look, you elders, you scribes, you Pharisees, that you're the one that crucified the Lord. I'm here to tell you, you may be trusting in your works. You may be trusting in what you can do and how spiritually you make yourself look to everyone else. But the only way a person gets saved is the same way the lame man got saved. It's the same way the crowd that would believe would get saved. And it doesn't matter your status in life. It's the only way a person gets saved. Amen. And Peter does this with boldness. He has courage. And he has conviction in what he is telling them. Because they, in fact, he said it with such boldness. Look at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They looked at him like, bro, these are fishermen. You know, these are people that are unlearned. They don't know anything really. And they don't know any. I mean, we're scribes, we're Pharisees, we're doctors of the law. We know what the Bible says, or we know what the Old Testament says and all those kind of things. And here they are preaching and proclaiming with boldness and with authority. And it amazed them. You see, you don't have to have the biggest doctor degree or the biggest, you know, have just this famous platform to get the message out. No, God says wherever you are, God wants you to be bold in your witness for Him. Amen. To be bold in reaching the lost with the gospel. And so they said, I'll tell you one thing. They may not know much, but I'll tell you one thing that they do a lot of. They took note of them that they had been with Jesus. They may not know much, and I say that all the time. I'm definitely not the smartest person. You know, there are many people much smarter than I. But I'm here to tell you that one thing, when we just know God's word and we proclaim God's word, then people go, wow, that individual, you can tell they've been with Jesus. So as I'm looking and wrapping this up, I want to think about how did Peter have the power to preach the gospel with boldness. What can we get from this tonight? Why was Peter able to do that? Might I add real quick, it doesn't matter about your past failures. God wants to use you today. This one that is preaching with boldness and seeing thousands come to know Christ was the same one that denied Jesus three times. He is the same one that said, no, I don't know him. Oh, no, no, your speech bewrayeth you. I know you know him. And then he begins to curse. This is the Peter that said, oh, I'm done with this whole Christian thing. I'm done with this following Jesus. I'm going to go back to my fishing days. Right. I'm going to go back to what I know. This is the same Peter that is standing here, that stood up on the day of Pentecost, that has talked to this crowd of people, and that is now speaking to the religious elite of the day, and he's doing it with boldness. So what made the difference in Peter's life? Well, I see three things very quickly about how he was bold for Jesus Christ. The first one I want you to notice real quickly in verse 19 and 20, where it says, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Watch this. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know why he was able to preach with boldness? Because of what he had seen and experienced Jesus. He had experienced Jesus change his own life. He had a personal testimony of when he was doing his own thing and Jesus said unto him, follow me. He had seen what it was like for God to love him so much that even after he denied him, after he rose from the dead, what did he do? He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? You love me more than these? Three times he asked him that question. And he had seen that love and experienced the love of Jesus in his own life. You're not going to be able to be bold because you can only play, let me just be honest, you can only play the part so long. If you have not experienced the forgiveness of sin in your own life, you're not going to last at being bold for Jesus Christ. But Peter and John, they looked at it and they said, all we can do is talk about what we have experienced, what we have heard Jesus say, and what we have seen him do. And all I know is when I was 12 years old, I realized I was a sinner, and God made the greatest change in my entire life when I accepted him as my personal Savior. And I've experienced the love of Jesus Christ in my life. So it's important that a person understand that if I'm going to be bold for Jesus, first off, I have had to have an experience with him that is in the that we have had our sins forgiven. But I want you to notice, secondly, if we're going to be bold in our witness for the Lord, look at what verse 8 says. Then Peter, what does it say? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad when you got saved, you got all the Holy Ghost you were ever going to get? I'm glad I got all the Holy Ghost. I'm not trying to get more of the Holy Ghost and all this kind of... No, I got all of it. Amen. The question is, how filled am I with the Holy Ghost? How much am I allowing the Holy Ghost to have control of my life, right? It says, be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. That means I allow the decisions that I need to make to be guided and directed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. If you're going to be a devoted Christian, if you're going to be a person that proclaims the gospel to your Jerusalem here in La Plata, right? That's what I want to make sure. In La Plata, Maryland, if you're going to do that, you're going to have to daily ask God and allow him to live his life through you. And ask God, God, give me the courage, give me the boldness that when I have an opportunity, not in arrogance and not in being mean or whatever, but in love, helping them understand, look, hell is real. The wrath of God abideth over every sinner. The only way to have forgiveness is through Jesus Christ. And to say it's important that I am filled with the Holy Ghost, that I allow God to speak through me and I allow him to live his life through me. One of my favorite verses, Galatians 2:20 says, for I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he's filled with the Holy Ghost. But I want you to also understand, based on the things that we cover, and I'll be finished, in chapter 3, that if you're going to be bold to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have to be confident in the power of Jesus Christ to change lives. This can't be just something we do Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night because, oh, this is just part of what we do. But I'm telling you, the reason I am in ministry and the reason I love on people and the reason I want to preach the gospel to them and to love on them and help them to understand that there is a God in heaven that loved them and that sent his son to die on the cross, to be buried and rise again from the dead is because I believe in God's ability to change their lives. Do you believe that when you go through Chick-fil-A, when you go through the gas station that's here, or you go through, it's Wawa up here, isn't it, right? Wawa, or you go to the Walmart, do you believe those people that are there that God truly can change their lives? Amen. Because you can say it here, but if you don't live it out there, then you're not going to see people's lives change like God wants to. But when I look and I say, I've seen God's... You think about Peter. He watched as God would feed... Jesus fed the 5,000. He watched as he raised someone from the dead, healed the lame, and all those things. And he believed that God could do it in this man's life. Now, we understand that these gifts were for a time and they are not today. We understand that. Because ultimately, more than physical healing is a spiritual healing. See, and I want you to understand as I close that La Plata, Maryland needs people. They need Bethel Baptist Church to understand you have to go. It has to begin at Jerusalem. I've been in church all my life, and it's amazing. People, they love to write a check and praise the Lord for that, for a mission to missionary to go to Asia or to South America or to Australia, but they won't go across the street to invite their own neighbor to be a part of the church service or to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. And somehow we've got in our mind that it soothes our conscience because we wrote this check so that someone else could go somewhere else. It somehow alleviates us from being what God wants us to be here. God wants you to be here. Because it has to start with boldness to proclaim Jesus Christ right here in your Jerusalem. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I thank you for the time that you gave me to preach today. Thank you for how everyone listened. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be bold to go to where you have told us to go. That you'd help us to understand that and realize and to experience that we've experienced a change in our life, that we're filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord, and that we understand that we truly believe what God's Word says. That God, the power of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, to change people's life, both now and most importantly for eternity. So, Father, as the pastor comes, thank you for Pastor Son. Pray that you'd help. As the invitation goes, I pray that you'd help us to make a commitment tonight, to be bold, to speak in your name. And Father, we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray.